As she said, my name is Peter Clausen. I will be doing the talking today, but you can, if you have questions for Dr. Gilling or myself, feel free to come by our booth. I was going to say that I would be taking the easy questions and Dr. Gilling would be taking the hard questions, but since he is here today, I guess I will be taking hard questions too. Let's see, which button do I push? So briefly, to provide a context, I've been working with ARM for about 10 years or so, and the two packages I spend most of my time on are the ARM package for single trial management, and the ARMST, which summarizes ARM trials across locations and years. It is this package that we provide the treatment by trial analysis. And new in 2015, we added a feature called the treatment by trial graph. The marketing department spent months on that title. So let's take a look. Okay. At the top, we have a fairly typical regression plot of mean effects against another mean effect. In this case, we are plotting the treatment in trial means against the overall trial mean. This is something that's fairly commonly used in breeding. You might see it as a stability plot, a genotype stability analysis. So we are using the more general term treatment stability. It gives you an idea of how treatments respond to the different environmental effects. At the bottom, we have a dendrogram, and it is the dendrogram that I'll be spending more time talking about. So let's go into a little bit of detail about a dendrogram. To create a dendrogram, we start out with a matrix, and in this case, we are representing each treatment as a column and each trial as a row. So we have each trial is a vector, and it represents a multivariate response based on the individual treatment response within trials. We then use the R function disk, and we're using R as our base engine. It's a fairly standard package. We're not doing anything fancy with this type of analysis yet. We can always expand on, but we want to start with a fairly common base. So we start with the disk function, and the default in R in this case is a Euclidean distance. Simply stated, and I had to practice this a few times, it is the square root of the sum of squared differences among the treatment pairs. Sums of squares is pretty common to statisticians. Okay. The result of this is a matrix that is a pairwise similarity matrix or distance matrix among all possible combinations among trials. There's really nothing of interest in the main diagonal. That's comparing a trial with itself. Okay. So now we use this distance matrix and we pass it to the H plus function in R. And this simply assigns each entry, each trial, a cluster. And then iteratively finding the most similar clusters, and merging them until you end up with one single cluster. And then we plot a dendrogram, and typically we draw a dendrogram by linking the clusters, and the links occur at a distance proportional to the similarity among the different trials, or the different clusters in this case. Okay. Typically, though, the leaves are drawn and reordered to prevent crossing of branches. So we have on the y-axis, the trials are just ordered arbitrarily, somewhat aesthetically, and you can have the same dendrogram drawn different ways. Okay, and it's still the same information. What we are doing is we are constraining that to fit within that regression plot so that the leaves of the dendrogram align with the treatment means. So we're adding a little bit of extra information to the regression plot. So how does this relate to interaction? Well, broadly speaking, there are two types of interactions that agronomists and agriculturists are going to be concerned with. One is where the differences tend to diverge or converge, but the relationship still stays the same. Okay, we can think of an environment being the sum being greater than the, or the total being greater than the sum of the parts as a way of saying interaction. We can talk about trials that are higher stress being more discerning among treatment effects, but we generally don't see much change in rank. Okay, so it's proportional response. There are other cases where the interaction arises because treatments perform inconsistently across different trials. Okay, and we will come back to this data set in a minute. Okay, so we can remember then, looks like I lost a font in there. Who do I write about this? Bill Gates. Actually, I used a Mac to do it, and it's been okay. All right. So anyway, treatment by trial means can be written as a sum of least square estimates which in this case is the grand mean. Alpha is the treatment effect. I'll be saying alpha first a lot, or treatment first a lot, so alpha. We have a trial effect, beta, and a treatment of a trial interaction term. And these are least square estimates. We're ignoring experimental error and replicate error in that. We're just looking at within this the means table. So when we compute the distances, as we described before, by taking the difference between means, what we're really doing is subtracting a main overall mean effect from an overall mean, a trial mean from a treatment mean from a treatment mean, and we end up with a distance based only on the main trial effect and the interaction term. And then we do the Euclidean distance. If the interaction is absent, then the similarity between trials is proportional to... Okay, I hope so. Is proportional to just the difference between the trials. In other words, we get a distance or a dendrogram that would be drawn as if we were just doing treatment comparisons among trials. So the types of decompositive interaction, we're going to look at examples. The one is simple additivity. There is no interaction. We will look at interaction as a random effect. We can describe the interaction term, the theta, as simply being drawn from a random population centered at zero. There is a simple model for non-additivity, where the interaction can be described as a product of the two main effects and a single constant. This was Tukey's one degree of freedom test for non-additivity. And there's also what would be called an error for the non-fit of the interaction. We also can look at relationship as dependent on one main effect only, and then a parameter that is dependent on the other main effect. So regressing treatments against trials, we have a regressor for each individual treatment. And this would be Mandel's test of heterogeneity or bundle of slopes. There are more detailed decompositions. I'm not going to go into them today. There are some really good references that cover these, and they're used a lot more in plant breeding. And to illustrate the effects of these models on interaction, we're going to draw a reference dendrogram. And the reference dendrogram is a dendrogram that's based only on additivity, which again brings us to just the distances between trial means. So let's take a look at this. Now, in this case, this is a fairly classic example from the literature where there is no statistical significance for interaction. Okay. There might be hints of it, and you can see a couple places where treatments move around, but we really can't say statistically that interaction is present. So this is largely an additive model. And if we look at the dendrogram, the reference dendrogram below is drawn in gold. It is virtually indistinguishable at the significance. The clusters end up being the same. There are some differences in distance, but that falls within experimental error. Now we have a random effect. And we don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but in our software we are adding two the AOV table, some tests for significance of the decomposition, the single degree of freedom decomposition, and the heterogeneity of slopes or stability of slopes decomposition. In neither case are these statistically significant. Now, there are some arguments in the AMMI type models or further models that you would then proceed to a decomposition because the residual contains information. I would argue against that in this case because if we look at the dendrogram, and if we look at, starting from the left, we have a single cluster and then a large group of clusters. On the right, we have a single cluster and then a large group of clusters. The branching in these clusters tends towards a center of mass, which indicates to me that's a random effect. And this is really, in this dendrogram, there really is only one cluster. And it's a cluster that can be described with a mean and a standard deviation. So if the trials behave as if they are a random effect, then we almost certainly would want to model the interaction as a random effect. And what we see is because this interaction is a random variable centered on zero, over a large number of treatments, the differences tend to cancel out, and the clusters we get are virtually indistinguishable. Now, you might see there in the center, there's a little bit of a disconnect between the gold dendrogram and the black dendrogram, but that's within statistical noise. So you may choose to explore that further, you may not. Non-additivity. This is a case where I think the non-additive one-parameter model best describes the data. where we see the significance is the mean square is very large compared to the stability of slopes mean square. So it may be sufficient for this data set to use one degree of freedom parameter to further explain the interaction. And if we look at the dendrogram, that helps confirm that opinion because we don't see much difference in the ordinary non-additive effects dendrogram and the interaction dendrogram. So now we move to a complex interaction. This data set is used to illustrate AMMI models. It's a fairly common data set, and it is a lot of stuff going on in there. So what we are working on as a new feature and to help visualize the interaction, there are three things. One is we are looking to circle the outliers in the interaction. That is taking the least square estimate of interaction, finding two standard deviations or three standard deviations from the mean. In this case, because I want excitement, I took two standard deviations. All right? And we see that there is several outliers. What we do at the bottom then is we are adding color to the statistically different, significant different clusters. And what we see on this is that there is a cluster on the left of low-yielding trials and a cluster on the right of high-yielding trials, several in the center. And there's one cluster, trial 19, that's off by himself. The nice thing about this and why I chose it for the presentation is that trial contains most of the interaction. Right. So we might consider in the more detailed analysis of how to use that trial in a combined analysis. Right. We also have a couple treatments. It's kind of hard to point out. There is a purple star that has two of the interactions, and another treatment, I believe it's number four, that has a couple interactions as well. So that may be guidance for further investigation of the interaction. Right. And if we look at the dendrogram, it really does distort the type of clustering we get when we have that much interaction. So future directions. Well, I mentioned that there is further decompositions that we can explore. Particularly for ARM, though, we have a broad client base doing a wide range of agricultural research, and I'm not sure that detailed decompositions are suitable. So we'll see how that is driven by the market. The clustering methods, I've only used the hierarchical clustering for today. There are other methods for determining clusters. And comparison of dendrograms. Using one reference dendrogram, how do we compare that and find statistical significance to what we can visualize? This is primarily a visual tool, but we want to back it up with numbers of significance. Okay. And so there, we're looking at that. Another kind of ARM specific is once we've identified clusters, can we automate the analysis and make it simpler for our users to say, this is a type of trial, this is a different type of trial. We'll talk about them differently. Okay. And finally, covariate analysis. We have a lot of trial-specific information that our users gather. They're just record-keeping, soil types, locations, and can we use those as covariates to determine if there's an interaction caused by, well, geospatial phenomena. So I hope to have time for geospatial maps, but I decided I want to kind of not make the proctors mad at me. So I think we are at the thank you point. Any questions? Yes.
So you have several methods for cluster analysis.
Yes. It probably will, yes. I think the first attempt was something that is straightforward, you know, very simple model. Yeah.
The only thing I have a concern about your model where you're assuming that all your trials have the same error variance, which actually changes completely if your outlier had outliers or not.
Yeah. Yeah, again, this is the simplest to start, and then what we have to really balance is providing our users with detail, but not too much detail. So we do kind of have to start simply and add. So yes, there will be much more to go into this. Thank you. Yes?
So typically trials will be tested in different management conditions, such as drought, disease pressure. So do you plan to do a trial by
that at this stage, we're still going to be reporting treatment by trial interaction. That would be an additional level of reporting and user input and control. So a lot of that is driven by how many of our clients are saying we want to add this level of analysis. So That would be a Steve Gilling question as far as the details of what we add. Statistically, we can do that, yes. But it's whether it becomes a feature we support in general.
Thank you.